In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue with volume 11, March 8th, 1914. And Jesus begins, everything that creatures do to me reaches me. So everything that we think, say, and do reaches God, even in the soul in whom I dwell, the soul who does my divine will. So here, again, volume 1 through volume 10 is how to do the will of God. And here in volume 11, he's still talking about doing the divine will. And soon he gets into living in the divine will. He teaches Louisa how this happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. So she says, Jesus says, if the coldness of the creature reaches me, my divine will feels it. And since my divine will is life of that soul, it happens as a consequence that the soul feels it too. So instead of troubling herself over this coldness as if it were her own, she must remain around me to console me and repair for the coldness that creatures send to me. I remember this one woman in our prayer group. She said, my children hate me. They despise me. They yell at me. They don't believe in the Catholic Church. They don't believe in the divine will. And I said, well, they're not angry with you. They're angry with God. And they don't want you to be near God because they're not near God. And she goes, so they're not angry with me? I said, not at all. And this is what Jesus says. Instead of troubling yourself over this coldness as if it were your own, you must remain around me to console me. Jesus is the one that's being ridiculed, annoyed, laughed at, spit upon, rejected, misunderstood, abandoned. And our job is to understand that. They're not attacking us. They're attacking Jesus in us. And the soul must repair for this cold that creatures send to me, God. So what happens at that point is you become free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Because what's being thrown at you is what they threw at Jesus. What they still throw at the Blessed Mother. What they still throw at Jesus. And Jesus is saying, in your nothingness, you have to console me. I'm the one that's being offended. You're there because you believe in me. And so you're sharing in my sufferings. So in the same way, if the soul feels distractions, oppressions, and other things, she must remain, and here's the around me. This is our rounds that we begin. Relieving me. This is in redemption and repair, as if those were not her things, but mine. So when things go wrong, that's why I say the first thing you do is thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me. Number two, I'm sorry it's happening to you. I'm really sorry. This is affecting you more than me. And Lord, I want to repair this. I want to redo this in the holy divine will. So therefore, the soul who lives in my divine will shall feel many different pains according to the offenses that creatures give me. So if your family is rejecting you because you want to be Catholic, you want to be faithful to the church, to Christ and his church, if they're rejecting you because you want to strive to live in the divine will, he says it very clearly. The pains that you're feeling are offenses that creatures give me. Your family is giving me. Your neighbors are giving me. Your coworkers are giving me. Your parishioners are giving me. But in a sudden way and almost in one start. Okay, so it seems like they're against you, but the one who is being hurt is God. And they don't want to hear it. So as you live this, your life is to repair and redo, so that the Lord is less offended. He says very clearly, he says, therefore the soul lives in my divine will, shall feel many different pains according to the offenses the creatures give me, but in a sudden way, almost in one start. On the other hand, the soul shall also feel indescribable joys. This is what's so great about the divine will. Indescribable contentments. That's what we're finding in the divine will. And if the first, she must occupy herself with consoling me and repairing me, in the divine joys and the divine contentments, she says, you must delight in it as well. And that's why I can always tell a soul who's reading the divine will. They're happy. They're joyful. They're peaceful. These are divine joys. These are divine contentments that God has given to us. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. And there comes to the point of little or no sin. Why? You're occupying yourself with divine joys, divine contentments. But when I find somebody living in the divine world who's a worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, it's very clear they're not reading. They don't have the joy. They haven't listened to Jesus yet. They haven't sat down with Jesus and let him talk to them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine hearing the voice of Jesus? What joy, what contentment. We have that when we read the divine will. And she says very, very clearly, only then does my divine will find my own interest in the soul that's peaceful, joyful, and happy. Otherwise, it would remain sad and unable to carry out what my most holy divine will contains. You see what Jesus is offering us? He's offering us this new and abundant life. Volume 11, 8, 15, 19, 14. I clasped Jesus to myself, and wanting to relieve him, I fused myself in his intelligence so as to be present in all the intellects of all mankind, past, present, and future. And therefore, give my good thought for each evil thought in order, why? To repair and redo every thought and to relieve all the offended thoughts against God, against Jesus. In the same way, I fuse myself in his desires so as to be present in all mankind, all the evil desires of creatures, to repair and redo for everyone and everything. In order to place my good desires and relieve the offended desires of Jesus. And so with all the rest. Then after I relieve Jesus part by part, inch by inch, as though cheered, I left. You see what God is doing is we are participating in the joy of Mary. This is what Our Lady did with her son crucified. This is what God is asking of us, to enter into this abundant life, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Volume 11, 11, 6, 19, 14, returning to speak about these hours of the Passion. My blessed Jesus said, my daughter, no, you must know that by doing these hours, praying these hours, the soul takes my thoughts and makes them her own. See, Jesus is teaching us how to think from a divine perspective. He's teaching us through the writings of Louisa and makes them her own. They become ours, one with Christ. She takes my reparations. She takes my prayers. She takes my desires. She takes my affections and even my most intimate fibers and make them her own. And rising up between heaven and earth, the soul does the same office as Jesus, Mary. Did you see? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And as co-redemptrix, and this is what Jesus says about the souls living in the divine will, because that's what Our Lady did. She lived fully in the divine will. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. He is the Redeemer. But St. Paul says we have to co-redeem with Christ. We have to be one with Christ. And says, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. I want to repair for everyone and for everything. I want to answer for everyone and for everything. And infiltrate, bring this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven for the good of all mankind, past, present, and future. Do you see why Jesus calls this the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies? This mission is the greatest mission, he says, that I could give to a human. And he says, do you want to participate in this? And all he's asking of us to do is say, yes, I want what you want, God. I want to echo Our Lady's fiat mihi. I want to echo your fiat. Let your will be done, Heavenly Father, not mine. We surrender to God. That's what Louisa gave. That's why God gave us the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. To the rule of God, the breath of God breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. I want this because you, God, want this. Not for me, but for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Volume 11, 424, 14. My daughter, only the souls who live in my divine will can give to me, triune God, true reparations. See, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, only the soul who lives in the divine will. Okay, so what do we do in the morning? We present our life before the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we say, I want to be fused with you, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, do you know how it's done? We go, yes, to fuse myself with a reflection. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa on earth. I want to fuse myself with you. Read volume 17, May 4th, 1925. It's key that we understand what Jesus is doing, why he's doing this, and how he's doing this. And what happens? So your kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven, that which you wanted, God, from the beginning. To give me true reparations, to soothe me from thorns so sharp. In fact, since they live in my divine will, hopefully that's us. And since my divine will is everywhere, they find themselves in me and in everyone. To love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. They descend into souls, past, present, and future. And then rise up back into me. They bring me, God, all the reparations of all mankind. Repairing and redoing. They soothe me, triune God. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus gives it to his Father and Holy Spirit. He as the triune God, it's given to all three of them. And in creatures' minds, they turn darkness into divine light. That's what the divine will is doing. It's raising our misunderstandings of God to begin to understand God from a divine perspective, not a human perspective. The saints have taught us how to understand God from a human perspective, saintly, good, and holy. So that's why Jesus is speaking to us. I want you, he says, now that you've learned the ABCs of the Catholic faith, now that you've learned the saintly way, the good way, the holy way, now I want you to share in my divinity. This is why the priest says it every day at Holy Mass. To share in the divinity of Christ. That's what he's saying. I want to turn your darkness into divine light. Volume 11, 8, 14, 1915. Now, the more the soul remains around Jesus, so here again, these rounds that God wants. He wants us to be one with him. Kissing my wounds, repairing me, offering my blood, in a word, redoing herself in what I, Jesus, did during the course of my life and my passion. The more props she forms so that I, Jesus, can lean on them and not fall, the larger the circle becomes in which the soul finds divine support so that not falling back into sin, the soul can be saved. So hear what Jesus is saying. The more we do our rounds, the bigger it gets. And he says, I want you to go all around creation and redemption. I want you to see all the I love yous in creation and make them your own. And then give them back to God. I want you to see all the I love yous of redemption. Make them your own and give them back to God with a divine I love you. Not a human I love you. Because that's what God wanted from the beginning. In his image and likeness. And likeness is to do what God does. He says, don't get tired. And one person said to me once, how many times do I have to do the rounds? I said, it's your life. It's your breath. How much life do you want? It's your heartbeat. It's your steps. It's your gazes. It's your listening. How long do I have to do this? It becomes your life. It becomes the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that God has given to you through this newborn Lisa. That person was thinking from a human perspective. Well, what am I going to do when I want to do? Well, you don't. You want to do what God wants you to do. That's the great gift of this divine will. Don't get tired of this. My daughter, being around me, making your rounds of creation, rounds of redemption, rounds of sanctification. That becomes your life. That becomes your prayer. Of going over my wounds over and over and over again, never stopping. What does he say? He says, kiss my wounds, repair my wounds, offer my blood. Redo everything within, through, and for you. And I myself will administer you the thoughts. Now, this is where the divine comes into place. I myself should administer you the thoughts, the affections, the words. Why? So that you may remain around me and my mother. Somebody's got their microphone on. I myself should administer you the thoughts, the affections, the words. Why? So that you remain with me, through me, for me, around me. This is the rounds. The rounds of creation, redemption, and sanctification are essential that we learn how to pray. If we don't know how to pray this, what happens is we fall back into our misery, our worry, our fear, our anxiety, complaints. And Jesus says, stop it. Stop it. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke from me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Now, this is the fullness of what God wants to give us, this great gift of the divine will. Volume 11, 11, 11, 15. This morning, I felt such compassion for the offenses that Jesus receives. Okay, she recognizes the sin around her, recognizing, you know, the news around her. And she says, for the many poor creatures who have the misfortune of offending him. Do you see what she's saying? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. For the many poor creatures who have the misfortune of offending him. And I would face any pain in order to prevent sin. And I prayed and repaired from the heart. Do you see what God is asking of us? He's asking us to love him so much that we will suffer anything so that sin stops. Now let's look at family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners. I mean, we are not facing the teeth of wild beasts. We're facing people in our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, even parishioners who are angry. Okay? Why? They don't want to follow the teachings of Christ and his church. And so what they do, they're filled with anger at us. Sticks and stones may break our bones. Remember that one? Jesus is saying to us, are you willing to do what Louisa has done? Face any pain in order to prevent sin? That doesn't mean you scream at people. That doesn't mean you're doing this. It's not that. It's, I want to repair Jesus. Silently, as our Blessed Mother did. Silently, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that this is happening to you. Thank you for showing this to me. I want to repair and redo this sin and all sins because I want to prevent sin. I want to repair this. See, what the devil does is look at them. Look what they're doing, those sons of guns. Again, we say, Jesus, I thank you for showing this to me. I'm sorry this is happening. I want to repair this and redo this in the divine will. That's what she's saying. And what does Jesus say to her? Ah, my daughter, these tears of yours, these prayers of yours, these pains, these reparations of yours, soothe my wound and descend upon my breast like shining gems. He's telling us what to do. That's why he says the little children of the Holy Divine will soothe the church, heal the church. And I glory in keeping them on my breast, to show them to my Father so as to move him to pity toward creatures. He holds us as he would hold a little baby, presenting it to the Father, soothing the Father. See, it's not to get angry. It's not to take offense. It's to say, thank you, Jesus. I want to repair this. You're the one that's hurt. This is why we're called to repair and redo. Volume 11, 11. 13, 15, my daughter, if you want to please me, offer it as my own humanity did. Do what Jesus' holy humanity did. Live the life of Jesus' holy humanity. Pray the rosary and look at Jesus through the eyes of Mary. Look at what he did. Enter into this life. Your memory must be of Jesus and Mary. Before giving Holy Communion to others, I, God, gave communion to myself. So he's teaching us something, what to do when we receive Holy Communion. We receive Holy Communion by saying, Jesus, I want to receive you as you received yourself. Why? So that I can receive you worthily. And I wanted to do this in order to give the Father complete glory of all the communions of all creatures, to enclose within that within me all the reparations for all the sacrilegious, all the offenses that my holy humanity would receive in this sacrament. Lord, I want to receive you as you received yourself in the name of everyone and everything, so that all mankind receive you worthily, as you, God, want. It's not just receiving Holy Communion going, what am I going to get? It's just receive Holy Communion so that everyone can receive worthily. That's what Jesus is asking. Are you willing to do what I did? Are you willing to do what my mother did? Since my holy humanity enclosed the divine will, it enclosed all reparations of all times. And since I, Jesus, receive myself, I, Jesus, receive myself worthily. We want to receive him worthily. And since all the works of creatures were then divinized by my holy humanity within my holy communion that I received, I wanted to seal the communions of all mankind, of all creatures. Now you, my daughter Louisa, and you, the souls linked to Louisa, do this in my divine will as I did. So he's teaching us how to receive Holy Communion. Either we learn from Jesus or we don't. Unite it to my holy humanity. In this way, you shall enclose everything, and I, God, shall find in you the reparations of all mankind. Everyone will receive worthily the compensation for everything in my satisfaction. Even more, I, God, shall find in you another me, image and likeness. It's not about just being good and holy and saintly. It's Jesus is saying, I want you to be like me. Do what I have done. I receive myself worthily. Receive me as I receive myself for all mankind. Why? So that you can become another me. Image and likeness. That's what the divine will is about. Volume 11, 5-3, 1960. My daughter, pray, but pray as I, God, prayed. It's not to just, people say, I'm going to make my own prayers. That's why we have the Echo Book. Louisa learned from Jesus. Every prayer that she prayed in the 36 volumes is found in the Echo Book. And people have said to me, well, I've got so much to do now. I'm doing the rounds. I'm doing the calendar. I'm doing the Passion. Why make excuses? Jesus says very clearly, pray as I pray. That's what Louisa did. She, little by little, you say, yes, show me how to do this. This is why we have the Echo Book. It's to begin to pray. Now, people say to me, this is my prayer in the divine will. Heavenly Father, I go, did you make it up? And they go, yeah, well, it's your prayer. It's not Jesus's prayer. Learn from Jesus. That's what Louisa did. That's why this Echo Book is so important. It's not going to be my prayer. It's going to be Jesus's prayer in me. It's going to be Jesus who does this. I want to learn from him. I don't want to teach me. One person said to me, Louisa did what she had to do. Now I'm going to do what I have to do. And I go, who are you? You're not Louisa. Remember that one, that guy said, he says, I knew John Kennedy and you're no John Kennedy. We know Louisa and you're no Louisa. It's to begin to live this abundant life. It's Jesus that that's what he says. He says it very clearly. He says, pray as I, God, pray. That's why he taught us one prayer, the Our Father. And now what Jesus is saying, look what I taught my little daughter how to pray. As a good father, as a good mother, teach their children. Jesus, the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve, are teaching us how to pray. Our Lady said, I will teach you new and powerful prayers. New and powerful prayers. That's the rounds. That is, pour all of yourself into my divine will, and you shall find God and all mankind, making all things of creatures your own. You shall give them to God as if all were one single creature, because the divine volition is owner of all. We participate in loving God with our whole mind and whole heart, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Then you shall place at the feet of the divinity the good acts of mankind in order to give honor to the divinity, and the bad ones, the bad thoughts, words, and deeds, in order to repair them through the sanctity, the divine sanctity, the divine power, the divine immensity of the most holy divine will, from which nothing can escape. This was the life of my holy humanity upon earth. This is the life Jesus wants us to begin to live. As holy as it was, I still needed this divine volition, the divine will of God, in order to give complete satisfaction back to the Father and to redeem the human generations, past, present, and future. Do you see what God is doing? He's getting the world ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us, are you beginning to live this abundant life of Jesus, this abundant life of Mary, the Son of God, the Mother of God, Theotokos, or you're still living your miserable life with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? We have to choose. We have to choose. So he says, in this most holy divine will, letting nothing escape me, Jesus, I took all thoughts into my mind for each of them. And in particular, I brought myself before the Supreme Majesty. Jesus did this. And I, Jesus, repaired for them. And in the same way, I, Jesus, ascended to each mind of each soul, giving them the good that I, God, had impetrated for their intelligences. We begin to think with the mind of Christ. That's why we have the teachings of the church. Humani Vitae, 1968. What happened? To what is human life? And what did the church, what did the people in the church do? They said, we're not going to follow this. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. They didn't think with the mind of Christ. If we in 1968 said, yes, I want to be faithful to the teachings of the church, I want to be faithful to your Humani Vitae, we would now be living in the divine will. But since we said no, I mean, think about it. The Israelites said no after 40 days of marching in the desert. And they had to spend 40 years of marching in the desert. We're spending 40 years of marching in the desert of no to Humani Vitae, of what human life is. He says very clearly, and in the same way, I descended into each mind of creature, giving them the good that I, God, had impetrated for their intelligences. That's what he gave us with Humani Vitae. In my gazes, I took the eyes of all creatures, their words in my voice, their movement in my movements, their works in my hands, their affection and desires in my heart, their feet in my step, making them my own. This is what Humani Vitae was supposed to give us, the holy humanity of Jesus. And in this divine volition, my humanity satisfied the Father, and I placed the poor creatures in safety. This is what he did on the cross. And then Jesus wanted to give us more. He gave us Humani Vitae, and the world said, no, don't bother me with what you want, God. I'm going to get what I want. Do you see why we're in the situation we're in? Jesus says, now, through the Blessed Mother, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The new era is coming. The glory of God, the salvation of souls is coming. This magnificent kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is coming. It's the fulfillment of the promise in the Our Father. It's happening. The souls who are reading, studying, putting this into practice, this gift of the divine will, are happy. They are beginning to live peace, joy, and happiness. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity. And there eventually will be no sin. Why? We begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what God's got planned. This is what he wants. Now, why can you not do this as well? Why can't you do this? If Jesus has done it, if Mary has done it, if Luisa has now been doing it, why can't we do this? There's no reason why we can't. For the one who loves me, Jesus and Mary, everything is possible. United with me, Jesus and Mary, in my most holy divine will, take and bring the thoughts of all mankind before the divine majesty within your own thoughts. See, Jesus is teaching us how to do this. The gazes of all mankind in your eyes, in your words, your movements, your affections, your desires, and all of those of your brothers and sisters, in order to repair for them and impetrate, beg this prayer for them to have divine light, divine grace, divine love for all mankind. In my divine will, you shall find yourself in, with, through, and for me, Jesus, and my mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. And in everyone, you shall live my divine life, image and likeness, and you shall pray one with Jesus and Mary. It's God's prayer now. It's the new Adam and the new Eve's prayer. That's why I said the Echo book is so powerful. Why? Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Mary is teaching us how to pray. New and powerful prayers. That's what the rounds are all about. Volume 11, 615, 1916. Daughter, pour yourself into my divine will to make complete reparations for me. So he's showing us that this overflowing of God's mercy and love is overflowing. He says, what do you do with this? Pour it all into my divine will. Make complete reparations for me in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. My divine love feels an irresistible need for them. And after so many offenses of the creatures, it wants one, at least, Luisa, who places herself between me and all souls, would give me complete reparations, would give me love for everyone, and would snatch for me graces for all mankind. Mary pours all graces into us that we can help give this to the world for everyone, past, present, and future. But you can only do this in my most holy divine will. This is what Jesus is teaching Luisa. And this is why the divine will is so amazing. In which you shall find me and all creatures to love God with all your whole mind, all your strength, all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Oh, what yearnings am I, God, waiting for you to enter into my holy divine will. Why? To be able to find in you, Luisa, and the souls linked to you, Luisa, all the satisfactions and all the reparations of all mankind. Only in my divine will shall you find all things in act, because I am the engine. I am the actor. I am the spectator of everything. God Almighty, I am your Lord, your God, your Savior, your King. Now, while he was saying this, I poured myself into his divine will. See, this is what's interesting. People go, well, how do you pour yourself in the divine will? What do you do? Do what Jesus said. Pour yourself in the divine will. Jesus, I'm going to pour myself in your divine will. I don't know what this means, but this is what you want. Show me what this means. See, when you become a stick in the mud, I've had people in the divine will. I don't understand this. I can't go any further. My mind just can't comprehend. Pour yourself into my divine will. Say, Jesus, I'm going to make believe I'm a pitcher, not a baseball pitcher, but a pitcher of water, and I'm going to pour myself into your divine will. And picture it. Picture it. Not a pitcher, but a pitcher. That sounds like metaphysical. Okay. Now, while he was saying this, I poured myself into his divine will, but who can say what I saw? See, let Jesus begin to teach you to see things from a divine perspective. Don't limit God. We limit God by, I don't know what to do. Just do it. Pour yourself in. I poured myself into his will, but who can say what I saw? See, as soon as you take the first step, see, God, as a good father, a father who is giving a present to his child, he doesn't just say, okay, unwrap the present. He says, unwrap, well, how do you do it? Just take the corner and just pull a little bit. Then what do I do? Just rip the paper up. Maybe I can rip the paper and the kid goes crazy. That's what God, he wants to see what we're going to do. Do we understand that he is our heavenly father? That's one of the titles of Jesus in the Divine Praises. Jesus, Father of the Age to Come. But who can say what I saw? I was in contact with every thought of mankind, the life which came from God, and I, in his most holy divine will, multiplied myself in every thought. And with the divine sanctity of divine will, I repaired for everything that they thought. I had to thank you for everyone, God. I want to love you for everyone, God. And then I multiplied myself in the gazes and the words and in everything else. But who can say what was happening? Tell me how to do this. See, people say to me, tell me how you do it. What does Louise say? Who can say what was happening? We're talking a divine perspective in human terms. If Jesus says pour yourself in. I lack the terms. Maybe even the very angelic tongues would stammer. Therefore, I stop here. It's not that this is impossible. It's a divine reality with human terms. What can I say? What can I do? Jesus says, pour me in. Okay, I'll pour myself in. You know, I'm a little teapot. You know, remember that? Do it that way if you have to. Use your pea brain to do what God is asking. How do you do it? Louisa says, who could say what was happening? I lack the terms. I'm going to stammer there. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to be, you know, saying non-words because we're talking about a divine reality. Psalm 11, 8, 3, 19, 16. My divine love is so great, Jesus says, that I consume my whole life in redoing what mankind was obliged to do for the supreme majesty. Everything's been redone. And now Jesus says to us through Louisa, through his mother, would you begin to live this abundant life? Would you begin to do what I do, image and likeness? Would you begin to do what my mother did, image and likeness? He says, I multiply them into so many as to redo that. Look at this thing. Since my acts were divine, why are they divine? Jesus is doing it in us. I multiplied them in so many as to redo them for everyone and for each soul in such a way as to fill both heaven and earth and to keep man defended so that divine justice might not strike him. But mankind with sin breaks this defense. And once the defense is broken, scourges strike mankind. Jesus says, if you and I began to live this, mankind is going to turn away from sin. Why? He says, I want you to be the yeast in the midst of flour. Everybody else is flour. Everybody else is dough. I want you to bring leaven, this light, this love, this life of God to mankind by living in the divine will. And everything's going to change. Everything's going to change for the good. Psalm 11, 9, 8, 19, 16. I received Holy Communion and I received myself in the will of the Father. And with this, I not only repaired everything, Jesus says, but finding divine immensity and all seeingness of everything and of everyone in the divine will, I, Jesus, embraced all mankind. I, Jesus, gave communion to all mankind. And in seeing that many would not take part in the sacrament and that the Father was offended for that they did not want to receive my life, I, Jesus, gave to the Father the satisfaction and the glory as if all had received Holy Communion, giving back to the Father the satisfaction, the divine satisfaction, and the divine glory of a divine life for every human being. You too, he says to Louisa, and now to us, receive this Holy Communion in my divine will. He's teaching us how to go to Holy Communion. He's teaching us how to meditate on him, to prepare for him to receive Holy Communion. Repeat what I, Jesus, did. And in this way, you shall not only repair everything and everyone, but shall give me to everyone as I intended to give myself to everyone and shall give me the glory as if everyone, every human that was conceived, received Holy Communion. That was his plan. That was his plan. That everyone receive the glory and the honor of God through Jesus to give to the Heavenly Father all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Volume 11, 1130, 1916. I was very afflicted because of the privation of my adorable Jesus, and I cried bitterly. And as I was doing the hours of the Passion, a thought tormented me and said to me, look, what good your reparations for others have done to you. This is the this is what people say. I prayed the hours of the Passion. How come nothing's happening? Look what good your reparations for others have done to you. They have caused you to let Jesus escape you. And much more nonsense. And blessed Jesus, moved to compassion by my tears, pressed me to his sacred heart and told me, my daughter, you are my goad. This is a spike stick for driving cattle. You are my goad. My love is cornered by your violences. See, we're limiting God by questioning. If you knew how much I, God, suffered and seeing you suffer because of me, the suffering that we're going through spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, Jesus knows what we're going through. Mary knows what we're going through. And they are suffering with their children. Any good mother or father, when they see their child suffering, is suffering as well. Maybe even more than the child. If you knew how much I suffer and seeing you suffer because of me, but it is justice, divine justice that wants to pour itself out. And your very violence forces me to hide. So her violence was, you know, what good is this doing? It's not trusting in Jesus. It's not believing in Jesus. It's not hoping in Jesus. Christian hope is certitude. Are we that prod that we're pushing Jesus away because of our misery? He's asking us this. He says, your violence forces me to hide. Things shall rage more, therefore patience. It's going to get worse. But he says, be patient. It's a giving birth. That the pain becomes more and more and more and more frequent. It's going to get worse. Why? The kingdom is coming. This is glorious. Yes, birth is suffering. Birth pains are suffering. But what's coming is the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So he says, it's going to rage more. There's going to be more pain. Patience. Besides, knowing that the reparations done for others have done great good to you, because in repairing for others, you intended to do what I, God, did. And I, God, repaired for everyone and also for you. I, Jesus, ask forgiveness for all. I, Jesus, grieve for the offenses of all. I also ask forgiveness for you. We've got to remember that for each and every one of us. For you also, I, God, grieved. My mother grieved. Therefore, as you do what I did, you also take the reparations, the forgivenesses, and the sorrows I had for you. So what could do more good to you? My reparations, my forgiveness, my sorrow, or yours? See, Jesus puts us back in line. And then I, Jesus, never let myself be surpassed in love. And when I see that for love of me, your soul is all intent on repairing for me, loving me, apologizing to me, and asking forgiveness for all mankind, to give her tit for tat, I ask forgiveness for her in a special way. I repair and I love for that soul, Louisa and now us, and I keep embellishing her soul with my divine love, with my divine reparations, and my divine forgiveness. Therefore, continue to repair and do not raise conflict between you and me. That's what Jesus is saying. He wants us to turn back to him. He needs us to turn back to him. He needs us to have confidence in him. Either he's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, or he's not. This whole week, we've been praying the Divine Mercy Novena. God has got plans, and we're in them. And he wants us one with him so that everyone will be able to enter into this kingdom if they wish. God is in charge. God's got great plans. He needs us to cooperate. That's what he does. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary that he gave to Louisa. And as we read, as we study, as we listen to Jesus, everything changes for us. everything changes for us. The kingdom is not at hand, as Jesus said 2,000 years ago. The kingdom is here for those who want to begin to live it. How? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy. Reading, listening to Jesus, listening to Mary, letting them teach you. I mean, how many times have I heard people say, oh, if I only lived at the time of Jesus and Mary, I would sit down and listen to them. Well, you can if you have the book of heaven. You can. You can begin today if you wish. Your whole life changes. A whole new beginning comes. So we'll end here and be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.